this month at Romans chapter 10. And this is session 4, the last session on that, and it covers verses 18 through 21. And this one is entitled, They Must Hear. So this is Romans 10, 18 through 21. So let's read the passage. Let's start with verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for, and this is a quote, their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Moses is helping them understand that there will be people outside of the family of Abraham who God is interested in and will reach out to. Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. That could be interpreted as Christ speaking and says, I have been found by those who didn't look for me because he sought them out and he called them. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, and this is unfortunate, but part of the big plan, of Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people who, for the most part, remain disobedient and contrary to the message of Christ, even to our day. So last week we explained this spiritualistic idea that love is the complete way to salvation. After all, God is love, so if I love God and I love people, he will be satisfied and I will be found acceptable, right? No, that's not right. Many people say, quote, I am a spiritual person. I'm in touch with nature. I'm in touch with the universe. I'm tolerant and loving. Of course I'm not judgmental. That's forbidden. We can't do that. But at what point do we discern or differentiate right from wrong, good from evil? Only God and the Son can judge. He is the creator and has the authority. You do not, but you can and should be discerning. We are told to try the spirits in the King James Version. Let's look at this in a more modern translation in 1 John 4, 1 through 3. So flipping over to 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. And I've been taught along the way in my walk that that means be discerning. Not judgmental, but discerning what's right, what's wrong. To see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming and is now in the world already. Be discerning, or in the King James, try the spirits. Here is the fundamental principle. Do you believe and confess or teach that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? He lived and died for you to pay the penalty for your sin. He arose from the dead and lives in the presence of the Father on your behalf. Scripture teaches that if this is true of you, in your inner heart of hearts, you have given your life and eternal destiny to him. You are saved. You are his. There are those in the church who may have heard these key truths but haven't believed and received Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but as Lord of all their life. These folks I call believers who don't believe. They may have prayed a prayer. They may also have been baptized. They are relying on a ceremony or a prayer. Maybe their name is on a church roster somewhere, but has there been a change in their life? Has there been a change in their reason to be? A change in their purpose in life? Have they really heard the gospel? Or are they believers who don't believe? So, Father, is it possible to attend church and be religious in the sense of attendance and participating in worship for years and years and not really know you? And the answer, I believe, is yes, it is possible for those folks not to really know you. And I think the key fundamental idea here is that we must realize what we're trusting in. Are we trusting in what we do for you? Or are we trusting in what you did for us? And so when we all appear at the gates of heaven or at the foot of your judgment seat, however you want to look at that picture, Christ says to us, will I let you in? And many people will say yes. Some will say no. But those that say yes, he's liable to ask, why should I let you in? And it's not because of anything that I have done, but only based on what he has done, what Jesus Christ has done. And because in his death, burial, and resurrection, he then gives us his Spirit, and along with it, as we've said earlier in this particular Romans 10 session, he's given us his righteousness, he's counted us righteous, he's imputed it to us, that before him we can be righteous even though we do not deserve his righteousness. Because of his love and grace and his gift to us, we have hope of eternal life with him. And I thank you for that truth and pray that anyone out there listening that has questions or doubts would be willing to come and speak to a staff member, Sunday school teacher, elder, whoever it might be, to understand truly where they stand with you in the light of your word and your truth. I thank you and praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.